Tanya and Jane Fore. Their business is evil. Jane Austen woke up in Sydney in a luminous dust storm, concerned that her friend Miss Plibersek might still be somewhat distressed by an unusual interview which Jane had already discerned might haunt her, since on the programme of Mr. Alan Jones, Miss Plibersek had replied to whether Labour would dismantle what Abbott and Turnbull and Dutton have put in place, with the riposte, "We don't have any plans to close those offshore detention centres. We have said that we would turn back boats where it's safe to do so. We don't want to send any signal that we would give people smugglers any hope at all, because they are wicked people who are running the biggest criminal enterprise in the world right now. We won't be any part of that. We will not restart their business. Their business is evil." Jane Austen was still, as Tanya declared, her favourite author. It was always a thrill to see her. She always kept some of Kevin's fine tea handy in case Jane might visit, and she loved to pour it from fragile guest china, the patterns soothing with flowers. There was always a quietness, an oasis to be had from Jane, in conversation as from sleepy reading. The tea was heaven, and Jane's eyes gave brighter sympathy, most perfect attention. Jane observed, "You are no doubt uneasy that you diffused the target to something acceptable for condemnation, but I can still see why you would detest the smugglers of distraught human beings. I myself was a passionate supporter of the abolition of slavery." Tanya opened up more. "In your novel Mansfield Park, I remember Fanny, the heroine, is something herself of a slave, having been transported unwillingly into the household to serve the family. That is the only reference, I think, in your work to slavery." Jane remembered carefully. Miss Plibersek always knew more about her work's real content than she did. She confirmed, "Yes, the only. Their family income depends on an Antiguan plantation. At one point, Fanny tries to discuss it in the open, but Sir Thomas isn't eager. And then, of course, she escapes that household, leaves it for marriage. But throughout the book, Sir Thomas worries about his financial situation. And, of course, dear Miss Plibersek, you will be thinking of my own family's involvement in the Caribbean. My uncle married the heiress to an estate in Barbados. My brother married the daughter of an ex-attorney general from Bermuda, and my father was a trustee of a plantation in Antigua. But indeed, you know these things." Tanya nodded comfortably. The company. And the tea. She said, "In regard to financial gain from importing people, I have always wanted to discuss with you George Soros and globalism in general." Jane concentrated. "I have heard of Mr. Soros and understand why you would consider him a paradox in human intervention. He is a very rich person who uses his money to fund small revolutions, all of them in favour of free trade. And if a war results, the fleeing population become an abundance of immigration, of which he is the champion." "An abundance which will lower," resignedly Tanya added, "conveniently for the rich, the price of labour. Destabilise national boundaries so multinationals prosper. I knew you'd understand the complexity of this. It is why Donald Trump is so popular with the working man and his tariffs. Why Bob Carr calls him a genius, founder of a new American Labour. Have you ever spoken with Mr. Trump?" The idea intrigued her. "He was complimentary and sincere. Soon I found myself more comfortable with his mother," murmured Jane, always discreet. "But there is no doubt he should be carefully considered.